This morning, I'm going to try to start just a tad early. I got to quit a little early if I can. I'm good. If you would remember Beck and me, we're going to be leaving after Sunday school to go down to Florida for my sister. She's got to have some treatments on Tuesday. And if you would remember us and then remember my sister as she goes through her treatment, I'd appreciate it. We are talking about, we're talking about the gospel. And we said what about the gospel? We said that it is God's conduit for what we talk about before the gospel?
Salvation.
Salvation. Thank you, honey. Thank you. It's God's conduit to salvation. Let me ask you this. If Christ died for us, is that sufficient? Oh, no. If that's all Christ did was die for us, that is not sufficient, because there would be no good news about a dead God. That's other religions. Muhammad died in 600 AD. He's still dead. Therefore, he can do no one any good. And I'm not saying that to disparage anyone's religion. I don't get into that. I'm just making my point. If you have a dead God, and you remember when they wanted to say, back in the 70s, was it? God's dead, you remember? Everybody tried to think God's dead. Well, guess what? God wasn't dead then, God ain't dead now. Hallelujah, don't you? Listen, he's the living God. So, listen, if all he did was die, wouldn't help us. Wouldn't help us. So here he says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, therefore, brethren, or wherefore, brethren, I declare, in other words, I'm making this statement, unto you, the gospel, I'm not looking at it, aren't y'all looking at it? The gospel which I preached unto you, wherewith ye received, and wherein ye stand, and also ye were saved by it, if you keep in remembrance that which I preached unto you, except ye believed in vain. Now you got it. If anybody ever ask you how 1 Corinthians 15 starts off, now you know, don't you? You don't have to stumble or anything. You can tell them exactly. It's about Paul telling them about what he preached. It's about Tom Foster telling them about what he teaches. It's about Dan Foster telling about what he preaches. It's about any preacher that God's called to preach, any teacher that God's called to teach, telling them about what he teaches and preaches. Because look, there's nothing else. Because Paul said, if any man or even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel that I have preached unto you, let them go to hell. Let them be accursed. My paraphrased version, let them go to hell. Exactly where they belong. You say, Tom, that don't seem right. Well, yeah, it seems right to me. Seems exactly right to me. Listen, if God would do everything for us, give his only begotten son for us, give us a gospel to preach, bless God, and then we'd preach something else, we ought to go to hell. And you will. Because that's what God said. Yeah. So preaching the gospel is important, isn't it, honey? It's what saved you. It's what saved you, wasn't it? Well, you better believe it. You know how I know it saved that boy? Huh? Because he's continuing. Listen, these people make a profession and I never see them again. I don't judge anybody, but don't seem to me like they're continuing.
Now, we did miss you, sorry.
Huh?
We did miss you.
I said if I don't see them again. I didn't say if I don't see them for a few times. I don't ever see them again. Look, you know where the first place I wanted to go after I got saved? Bless God, the church. You say, well, Tom, that's because you have to. How many of you had to come to church today? Raise your hand. If you had to come to church today. Huh? Did you have to come today, honey? Well, you had to because you wanted to, right? And you want to because you have to? Well, you know, you can look at that two ways. I want to because I have to, and I have to because I want to. You can't do one without the other, though. You can't just say I have to without the want to. And you can't say I want to unless you have to, right? Because the want to makes the have to. I have to go because I want to go. I want to go because I have to go. I have to go because God's done so much for me. I just want to go and praise him. I wish we could do a little more of that, don't you? Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. I love everybody in here. I do. But if all I'm looking forward to on Sunday is seeing you. No, I don't mean that. No, I'm not trying to be funny or anything. If all I'm going to do is look for, listen, I could join the Lions Club, bless God, and get that. I could join the Moose Lodge over here and get that. That's what they do. But I want to come here on Sunday. But thank God. I got a lot to thank him for. And you know what I thank him for, one thing? You. I told him in prayer room this morning. Hey, listen, I pray for things all week. And I show up here on Sunday and in the prayer room here they walk in. Well, if you don't think I like that. Huh? I like that. You know what that's going to make me do?
Praise God.
Praise God and pray more. Listen, he's answering. He's hearing. I'm going to pray. Anybody got anything want me to pray about this week, just let me know. I'll start right back there. I'll start with Helen Cole. You say, Helen's not there. Well, bless God, she is with me. I'll start right back. And Mr. Williams, and I come right across there. David and Jennifer, you say, well, they're not here today. Well, but they're there with me. And now, of course, Gene, you're in there, but you're up here. So I don't get you. I get Tony next. But before I get Tony, I get Karen, because that's where Karen would see it. And the little girl that comes with Karen, I mention her. You say, well, she hasn't been here in a while, but hey, she's here with me. And then I come right on, and Paul and Marty's my next. And then I go to Carolyn, she's next. You say, well, she's not. Yes, she sits right there. And then I go over there to Sylvia. You say, well, Sylvia's not over. Yeah, bless God, Sylvia's over there to me. She's right there in that corner with her daughter Rachel right beside her and her husband Rick back there. Now, who do you think I'm praying for? I'm praying for them. And I go right across and I go over here to Nancy and her husband. You say, Tommy, you forgot his name. I ain't forgot his name. I'm just bum-fuzzled right now. Help me. Kent, thank you. Kent and Nancy. And then I come right on across and I get Mouse and what's your name? And Pam. I don't forget you when I'm praying. Because I got the Holy Spirit helping me. But I come right on the cross and I get you. Every one of you. I don't miss you. That's why I want you in your seat. Don't get out of your seat. Because if you get out of your seat, you get out of my mind. If you get out of my mind, I can't help you. See, now Dwayne, he's generally back there, and him and Brenda, that's where I get him. I don't get him up here. Yeah, well, that's okay. But he won't get prayed for this week. I'm just kidding. But my point is this. I'm not trying to give me credit, folks. I'm trying to say we got a lot to thank God for when we get here. A lot. More than we could ever thank him for. And it wouldn't hurt if a little hand went up every now and said, thank you, Lord. First of all, thank you for saving me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once I was lost, but what does it say? Now I'm found. Hallelujah, bless God. I was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for the breath you give me. Thank you for the privilege you give me of being here, seeing my brothers and sisters, and worshiping together. But folks, without the gospel, that's not possible. Without the gospel, this would just be the Lions Club. Hey, well, we might be here. It'd just be the Lions Club. We'd just be socializing. You say, Tom, is that why you don't like socializing? No, I like socializing some. I'm not a big socializer. y'all know why. I don't try to be somebody I'm not. Now, my brother Dan, well, he's like my mama. He's never met a stranger. Listen, I'll run from a stranger so fast it make your head swim. I'm not comfortable around strangers. I'm just not. But you know who I am comfortable around? You. You're not a stranger to me. You know why? Because you like to talk about what I like to talk about. You like to think about what I like to think about. Huh? You like to read the same book. You know, you have these book clubs. Well, I like novels. I like mysteries. I like the Word of God. And you know, that's what we have in common. God's children love the book. And that's something we can talk about. But folks, without the gospel, you can read the book all you want to. It's not going to help you. You know, that's what Jesus said. Don't take my word for it. Take his. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You think because you read the Bible, you're saved. Well, that won't save you. But if you'll believe what you read, it'll save you. Because what you'll read will be the... Come on, man. You used to shout out for me, but you're a little backward now. What happened?
No, I'm getting ready to get mouthy. We've got a lot of lost ones. And the pride comes before the fall. And it's so sad because I try to talk to people. And they think because they've believed there's a God, I'm a pretty good person. Their pride keeps them from admitting they're a sinner, and it's like you just watching them just go down that wrong road.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, and it's a good thing you said that, because you know what the gospel does? The gospel gives you good news, right?
Yes.
But it also gives you bad news.
Conviction.
Now, what is the bad news?
Conviction of your sin. That you need
now,
to get
listen,
from your way.
You see, the gospel doesn't paint you as pretty. The gospel paints you as ugly. The gospel paints you as vile. The gospel paints you as filthy and sinful. But it also says, but if you'll believe what I tell you, I can make you beautiful. Because I'll wash all the filth away. Isaiah 1:18, is that not what that says? Huh? Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be ugly, though your sins be filthy, I'll make them white as snow, like wool. I'll do that for you. But that's the gospel. You see, so the gospel is the conduit to which everything flows. And that's why we're to teach and to preach and to share the gospel. You don't have to have the Bible memorized. You just have to have those things in mind. Let me tell you what the gospel did for me. If it'll do it for me, it'll do it for you. That's all you got to do. If you'll believe that it did it for me, and you'll believe that it can do it for you, it'll do it. Because Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. If you're ashamed of it, don't give it. But if you're ashamed of it, you ain't got it. Ain't like that. Huh? You say, now, Tom, you're judging. No, I ain't judging nobody. No. He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Well, you don't think he's ashamed of his children, do you? Well, no way, shape, form, or fashion. But if you're ashamed of him, you ain't his child. He don't have a child that's ashamed of him. Don't. I don't care what anybody tells you, don't. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of him. For this reason, I'm not ashamed. It's power. Now, how did he know it was the power of God unto salvation? How did he know that? Because he read it? Listen, that's what I'm talking about. If you don't know what it did for you, you can't tell somebody else what it can do for them. But if you know what it did for you, well, you're not ashamed to tell somebody else, are you? What it can do for them. I mean, if you find somebody that's just down and out, don't have any hope, don't have any future, don't have anything going, and you say, well, brother, I was the same place. Sister, I was in the same place. I was there. I was sitting at that red light. I didn't have anything. I didn't have any hope. Have no future. But I met hope. I met my future. My sins are gone. Gone at last. Gone at last. My sins are gone at last. I've had a long streak of that bad, bad time. But my sins are gone at last. But without the gospel, that's not possible. If Christ only died, that's not possible. Him dying, it doesn't get it done. Don't get me wrong. I'm not demeaning the crucifixion. Bless God, it saved me. But not the crucifixion only, because he says, listen, I preach the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins. That's what I've been talking about here. Listen, if you don't see your sins, you'll never see him dying for them. And if you don't see him dying for your sins, bless God, you can forget what the rest of it is. There's no need to go to step two. You didn't even get to step one. But now what was it I told you he's going to teach on? Oh, come on now. Huh? The third in that. The third in that. Don't you like the third in that? How many like the third in that? Huh? Well, what is the third in that? Tell me what the third in that is, honey. Well, I'll tell you what it is. Now, you can't tell because you've been reading. Huh? Now, listen. Here's what it says. How that Christ died for our sins. And that, there's the second one. And that he was buried. Well, now, why does it put that in there? Well, because he just died. I mean, what do we do when people die? We bury them. Huh? Well, no way, honey. Don't get ahead of me. See, you're wanting to get up and shout and teach. That's okay. I like it. Bless God, I wish somebody would. He says, and that he was buried. Now, listen, if all he did was die and get buried, we ain't got no good news. Our God's dead. The world's happy. We're doomed. But all along comes a third in that. And that he was raised again. Romans says, for our justification inside of God. Don't you like that? Now, you know what that means, don't you? Our justification inside of God means it makes you right inside of God. Listen, if you stand for God wrong, you're done. You can't stand before God wrong. You have to stand before God right. And he says that he was raised for our justification, our righteousness, making us right. Where? In the sight of God. Well, what does that tell you, Dwayne? Here's what that tells you. You're going to stand before God. You afraid? No, you're not afraid because you accepted the gospel. But if you don't have the gospel, if you don't have your sins paid for, you're still going to stand before him. But I'll guarantee you, you'll be as afraid as you've ever been in your life. But it'll be too late. Too late. So he says, and that he was raised for our justification in the sight of God. And now, here, now we cut, you say, Tommy, you talked about all that last week. I did, and y'all couldn't remember it. And then what's the next part he says? According to the Scriptures. Look. Does anybody know why I hammer so much on this book? Look, this isn't just a leather-bound book with pages in between with writing on it, folks. If that's the case, we can go over to Books a Million, and we can all get whatever book we like to read. Self-help books, novels, nonfiction, fiction, mystery. My wife reads 3 books a week probably, or more. And she loves books about Nantucket. She loves books about the Northeast. She loves books about Charleston and Savannah. And she loves, what's that lawyer wrote, huh?
John,
she loves John Grisham books. She loves all kinds of books. Those books ain't going to help her. Tom don't read no books. Tom tries to read 66 books a week. All in here. Self-help? Oh. It's in here. Mystery? Oh, it's in here. Nantucket?
Nope, there's no nonfiction in there, though.
Huh? There's not?
No, and I don't like nonfiction.
You mean fiction?
I meant fiction.
That's what I, honey, that's okay. Boy, you got to be careful, honey, what you say. Because I was going to corner you on that, but Larry bailed you out.
Thank you, Larry.
It'll save you. If you got your Bible, hold it up. Repeat after me. Repeat after me.
This is my Bible.
It saved me.
It saved me.
Hey, it saved you, folks. That's what saved you. Listen, you know what? I'm going to go over here just a second. I haven't talked to Diane a long time. No, I'm going to go over here and talk to Pam. I can talk to Pam a while. I've talked to you. Do you know what grew the early church, honey? Do you know what took the early church from just a few scattered people to all of a sudden, boy, it was just an innumerable thing? Do you know what did that? Well, the Bible tells you. It says, and the word grew them daily. And the word added to them daily. To the church daily. Why? Because daily people believed the word, and daily the word saved them, and as it saved them, it added them to the church. That's the gospel. But look, Paul here in Corinthians, when he says according to the Scriptures, remember I told you he don't have the New Testament, folks. He's not preaching out of Corinthians. He's preaching out of the Scriptures, the Old Testament. And we left off, stand up, Pam. We left off with Pam standing up. Now, listen, she's standing up because it says, wherein ye received and wherein ye stand. So I left her standing. And she's still standing. And she was reading in Psalms 16, 1 through 8, right?
Yep.
Well, honey, was you not prepared?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, I was the first
15. Now, and she came down there and she was. I thought I had this planned out. I sent out texts and everything. But anyway. There's some of that fiction. Yeah, no, yeah, you did. Now, go ahead.
Okay, well, tell me 6.
Well, it's 8 through, starts in verse 8.
Verse 8.
Yeah. But you'd read verse 8 and go to 9.
Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Well, how long, how far do you want to go?
Yeah.
Just, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol.
Stop. Now, is David talking about himself there? David's writing this. Well, David's talking about himself, but the Bible's not talking about David. You get that, don't you? You see, here's the thing about the Bible. The Bible was given to Israel, but it's for us. It was given to them. But it's for us. And so what he's doing here is he's not only talking about himself. God's not going to leave me in the ground. David knew about the resurrection. How do I know that? What were? See, when David's little baby died, you remember that? And David was mourning. And he said, he can't come back to me. Listen, you can't tell me I've never had a child die, but bless God, you tell me a mother that had a child die that didn't say, boy, I wish they could come back to me. Or a father would say, boy, I wish they could come back to me. But David knew he couldn't. But what did David say? Well, I can go to him. Well, let me tell you something. Bless God, if you've had a child die in the Lord, you don't have to worry. They don't have to come back to you. You can go to them. If you've had a husband or a wife die in the Lord, bless God, you don't have to worry about them coming back. You wouldn't want them back anyway. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can go to them. If that's not the gospel, I don't know what the gospel would be. So he says, he won't leave me in the grave. But what is he talking about there? He's talking about Christ. Christ is saying to his father, listen, I know you're not going to leave me in there. I know I will not see, starts with a C. Now, who said that? Corruption. Remember, and we left off here last week talking about Amy's song. Amy's song is what?
4 days
late. And what happens in 4 days? Oh, corruption. But he says, oh, no, you won't leave me 4 days. You're going to get me in 3. Before the corruption starts, I'm coming out there, Lord. So he says, so he's talking about the resurrection, right? Okay, so it's good that Christ died, but that's not sufficient. It's good that he was buried because that proves he died. But that's not sufficient. But the third and that says, and he was raised from the dead. And so here, Paul wasn't getting that from Corinthians, folks. He was getting it right here. One place in these scriptures where it talks about the resurrection, where he says, you won't leave my soul there in hell, but you'll raise me up. Go ahead, honey, read. Now, that's the gospel. Now, I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you how. I'm going to go over here and talk to Dwayne. Nobody else wants to listen to me, so I'm going to go over here. Now, let's think about this, Dwayne. Just between me and you. Just talk. It's good that he died, right? It's good that he was buried. That proves he died. Oh, it's wonderful that he raised from the dead because that means he raised for our justification, right? But what was that fourth aspect that she just put in there?
Corruption.
No.
He died for us.
No. What did it say? What did it say?
He's at the right hand.
He's at the right hand of the Father. And that's where the pleasures are. Now, if the pleasures of the... How many of you want the pleasures of the Lord? Raise your hand if you want the pleasures of the Lord. If you don't, leave your hand down. He says, here's where the pleasures of the Lord are. At the right hand of God. Now, if you want the pleasures of the Lord, where do you have to be?
Right.
You have to be at the right hand of God. Now, how many of you can get to the right hand of God? Oh, well, no, you won't, because that's where Jesus is. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says this: therefore there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Bless God, that's your position. And if you're saved according to the gospel, you are in Christ. And if you are in Christ and he's at the right hand of, it says in the heavenlies, by the way. And if you are in Christ, it says he hath made us to sit in the heavenlies. Bless God, that's where you at. You and Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, and that's where the pleasures are. That ain't good news. I got none for you. But that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Now, that's the good news in a nutshell. How many of you like sausage? How many of you want to see sausage made? Well, let's think now. I want you to think about what you just said. You get pleasure out of sausage, and I do like sausage. Stand up, honey. You like to read? I gave you some stuff to read. You sent me a text. You wanted to know what you wanted to know. No, you got to have your Bible. You can't stand up without your Bible. 22 Psalms. I gave you all this. Have you not prepared?
You gave me Corinthians and you gave me Matthew.
I want you to listen. No, now there's that fiction again.
No, I've got the text to prove.
No, we were standing at we were standing up here, remember? And I gave you the scriptures up there under the shed, and then you sent me a text and you said, "Where do I need to read? Because I need to stay ahead of Pam." I've got all the information. But I digress for a moment. Go to 22. Psalms 22. Now, what's the very first thing? I'm asking her. No, honey, stop. No, I know, honey, I know. Just read it monotone. You want me to show you? Yeah. You want me to show you?
Yeah.
My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You can't listen. I'll tell you this. Bless God, I don't care. Sit down. I'm teaching again now. I told you that my little bride, whom God has blessed me with for 52 years, we were in divorce court 5 times the first 5 years. And I'll never forget the last time she left me. It wasn't her fault, it was mine. I'll never forget how I chased her down the road. And I stopped her. And with tears, I begged her, "Don't leave me." She was forsaking me. She had every reason to forsake me. But I was begging, "Don't forsake me." Well, don't you know that Jesus was saying, "Oh God, don't forsake me, please." That's the sausage being made. That's the good news being made. We can never forget what he went through. This whole chapter is about what he went through. How he was beaten. I gave him Matthew 27. I gave him Mark 15. You read those accounts and you see him beaten, a thorn put on his head and slammed down on him. They went by and spit on him and mocked him. They put a robe on him and gave fake worship to him. That's your good news being made. That's the Son of God going through that. He'd already demonstrated who he was. You remember when they came to the garden to get him? Oh, they came with all the big Roman soldiers. We're here to get you. And he said, well, whom do you seek? Let's get this straight now. Who are you after? And they said, we seek Jesus. He said, I'm he. Boy, they hit the ground like a lead balloon. You know what he was doing, don't you, honey? He was demonstrating something to them. Pardon me, honey. Bless God, you ain't going to come out here and get me. I'm coming out here to get you. I'm going to die for you. But I want you to know one thing and one thing only. I've got the power here. You got no power over me. I got all the power. Now get up. I'll go with you. Because I've done prayed to the Father. And I said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But he wouldn't. Because it wasn't his will that it pass. It was his will that I fulfill it. And so I'll go with you. Let's go. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Don't you touch these. Huh? Hey, he had them boys with him that had already was hiding and cringing and was afraid. He knew. He said, now listen, don't you touch them. You better leave them alone. I'll give you something to worry about. I'm going with you. They're not. You know who went with him, don't you? He alone, except Peter. Peter, it said, followed at a distance. You know that guy that said, Lord, wow. No. When it come down to it, he was a coward. Oh, look. When it come down to it, I'd have been a coward. Huh? There's just one brave person out there that day. But that was the gospel men made, folks. They took him, and you remember they gave him a trial in the middle of the night because it's against the law to give it otherwise. And at the break of dawn, they take him over to Pilate. And they take him into Pilate. Pilate says, what's he done? They said, well, forget about what he's done, crucify him. Well, what's he done, crucify him? You know why they didn't tell Pilate what he'd done or not? Then they started bringing in the liars. You remember? They said, oh, we got witnesses here. We got people. Liars. But that was your gospel. That was your salvation being made. Oh, what God went through. God didn't have to go through that. Why, he killed every one of them. Huh? All he'd had done was say, you're dead. And they'd all been dead. But he said, I didn't come for that. I didn't come to kill, he said. I came to save. Folks, if that's not a reason to come in here and shout and praise the Lord and lift your hand and say hallelujah occasionally, what we got? I mean, that's the gospel. I mean, if we've got somebody up there that's pouring out their heart in a song, if we can't give them a little encouragement and say, yes! Every now and then, what do we got?
Nothing.
We got nothing. Folks, we got everything. We've got the gospel. We've got a Savior that died a gruesome, agonizing death. But we've got a Savior that had a glorious resurrection. You remember the resurrection, don't you? You remember they came to Pilate and they said,
by the way, I just want to tell you this. You know how that deceiver said that, you know, he'd raise the temple in 3 days. He'd resurrect in 3 days. Well, I know they put a stone over there, but could you give us a watch? And could you make sure there's a seal? I mean, we got to make sure. Otherwise, if they come and get him during the night, they'll claim that he resurrected, and it won't be good. Pilate says, go on, you got your watch. So they go out there, and they put the watch up and put the seal on.
You know what Psalm says, don't you? I'm going to laugh at them in their derision. God laughs at that, folks. God laughs at man when man thinks he's God. So you know what happened, don't you? Jesus couldn't get out because they had the watch and the seal. Jesus couldn't get out because the stone was there. He had to have angels come down and roll that stone away.
No.
You know how I know he didn't? Do you know how I know he didn't have to have that stone rolled away? Thank you, honey. Word. Well, no, let me give you an example. You remember when the disciples, after the resurrection, you remember when they were, boy, they were really afraid. I mean, you remember they were in the room and they had the doors closed and they was afraid, right? And Jesus came. And he come up and he knocked on the door. Let me in. Open the door. Let me in. What did he do? Well, he walked right through the door. Well, if he can walk through a door, bless God, he can walk through a rock. Huh? Hallelujah, don't you like that? That's who your God is, Dwayne. That's who saved you. Bless God, he can walk through doors. He can walk through rocks. He can walk through your problems. You know what I've told my little sister all this time? I've been so proud of her. Boy, I tell you, she stood tall. I can't imagine the pain she's in. You talk to her, and man, she's just tired. She's beat down. But boy, she's standing tall. You know what I tell her every time I talk to her? I say, honey, just keep your trust in the Lord. He's going to help you. Don't ever lose sight of who your trust is in. Let me tell you something. Don't ever lose sight of who you're trusting to get you through this life, Linda. Don't ever lose sight of the one you're trusting to give you life after this life. That's the gospel. That's what Paul preached. That's what the disciples preached. That's what Jesus preached. Bless God, that's what I preach. You say, Tom, you're a teacher. I've quit trying to teach. I'm going to start preaching. Bless God. Listen, that's what our pastor preaches. That's what anybody that's called to preach preaches, because there's nothing else to preach. There's no good news other than the death, burial, and resurrection and him sitting at... Now, why is it important that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father? Well, according to the Bible, here's what the Bible says. We have one mediator. Now, everybody knows what a mediator is, don't you? Oh, boy, I got to quit. Between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. When you've got a problem, you can go to him. Because he's sitting there. He's not dead. He's sitting there. Alive forever. That's what he says. He says, I am he which was alive and was dead, but am alive forevermore. So he's sitting there. And you know what he's doing when he's sitting there, honey? Oh, you got to get this. This is part of the good news, and then I'm done. You know what he's doing while he's sitting there? Oh, he's just twiddling his thumb. No, bless God, he's not twiddling his thumb. Listen, he's listening and looking at his children and seeing what they need and hearing their needs. And you know what happens when you say what you need? He says, anything that you ask in my name, bless God, I'll give it to you. Now, you know what that don't mean at the end of the prayer you say in Jesus' name, that does it. No, what he means is according to his will. Anything you ask according to his will, hey, it's done. It's done. Because you're not going to be praying out of his will. You're not. And if you pray in his will, it's done. Is that not good news? Is that not a reason to praise the Lord? Well, okay. Pray for me and Becky. We've got to go. We ain't got to go yet, do we? Got to. Okay. Where's Les? Let's go. I told Les to get up here early now. Well, should have known better than that.
Cooper CD.